Hey everybody, welcome to a long time coming episode of Bald Move TV. We've seen a couple of shows that we were interested in talking about. Thought we'd jump on the mics and do it.
Okay.
I watched Ash vs. Evil Dead. I can't get over that name. Ash versus Evil Dead, not the Evil Dead, which I'm used to saying.
Oh, really? It's not Ash versus the Evil Dead?
No, just Ash versus Evil Dead.
Holy shit. That is a mouthful. Ash versus Evil Dead.
Yeah, so I don't know what's up there, but I thoroughly enjoyed
it. I guess the movie is not The Evil Dead. It's just Evil Dead.
I guess so. Yeah, I'm not totally sure about that. I always call it The Evil Dead, though.
Mm.
But that's just me. You watched it today. We watched it this morning. I watched it on Saturday night when it came out as well. So I've seen it a couple of times. What did you think on your first viewing?
Well, so... I don't know what kind of person would like the show. I mean, if you liked Evil Dead 2 and Armies of Darkness, God, I can't get any of these titles right. You will probably like this movie. If you like slapstick physical comedy, you will like this TV show, rather. If you like really well done and creepy, but not take itself too seriously, gore and horror effects, you'll probably like the show. But and even I'm primed to like the show. I like Ash, the character. I like Bruce Campbell, the person. I've even seen like some of the obscure shit like Bubba Hotep.
Yeah.
And even then I was watching it like, man, it's being so schlocky and so self-referential, and like when he went to, you know, like the light bulb gag.
Sure.
Like, it starts off, I'm like, this is so tired and hackneyed, I can't fuck it. But they always take it to that, like, they invite you to, like, yes, scorn, mock us. And then they take it to another level that is just so absurd or so, you know, Bruce Campbell with his physical comedy is so good that it makes you laugh despite yourself.
Yeah, I think Bruce Campbell sells most of this when it has no business playing at all.
Yeah, same thing with, like, you know, this is something he does in Army of Darkness, and when he fights with a little thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, there's no fucking way. Come on. You can't do this in 2015, guys. And then he starts smashing pots on his face, and you laugh despite yourself.
Yeah. No, that's how I feel.
There is a secret sauce about Ash legitimately. It's the same kind of Archer thing where he's legitimately a badass occasionally that sells his swagger and bravado and everything else, even though, like, he's clearly a loser and nobody thinks much of him. And there's a lot of pathetic things about his life. But when the Deadites come out, he kicks ass.
He does. He does.
And it's entertaining.
That's the thing. Like, I don't like the character of Ash. I don't like him as a person necessarily.
He is kind of a terrible human being.
He is. Like, the way he's just going up to this girl at the counter and hitting on her and being completely oblivious to, you know, any kind of societal rules here.
On the other hand, a guy who's beat back the forces of darkness and been through his experience and cut off his own hand can probably be a little maladjusted and creepy and not give a shit about societal convention.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, if Bruce Campbell himself as an actor wasn't so charming, I don't think this would play at all.
It is unbelievable
that
he can do the things he does. Like, even the premise of the show itself, which this isn't a spoiler, this happens like the first 5 minutes. The reason this is all happening, again, is because he got super high with the girl he was trying to impress, and he just decided to whip out the Necronomicon and start reading out of it as a gag.
And I thought that was a pretty good reason for the Evil Dead to come back.
But when it started up, I'm like, come the fuck on.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the end of it, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever, because what else?
You get this drug-fueled haze going on.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. The other thing I like about it is how kind of retro-Raimi it is. You know, there's a lot of signature Raimi moves. If you're a fan of his, you'll see it in his Spider-Man and some of other's mainstream movies. The whole low tracking Steadicam shot through the woods is a staple of all his horror movies, and it makes its way into Spider-Man. It's anytime something from the edges is going to attack somebody. There is smash zooms to, like, illustrate physical impacts, unseen physical impacts on things. And he used those a lot to, like, when Dr. Ock was attacking in Spider-Man, like, he'd smash cut into what the arms were to kind of give you that motion simulation. And he directed this first episode.
Yeah, yeah.
He co-wrote the first one with his brother and some other guy who I've never heard of, but I guess he's seen and written and produced a lot of things. And I know he wrote the second episode. According to Wikipedia, he didn't direct any others. But he seemed like he was pretty involved in it and is kind of committed to seeing it succeed. So,
yeah, I was surprised how many references they had to the original movies.
I was
in this first episode. Like, they just hit you with all of it. The shotgun, the chainsaw, the little dolls, like,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. And I wonder if they can keep that going for 10 episodes.
Yeah, that's what surprised me. I was like, okay, maybe they'll whip out the chainsaw like episode 3 or something. But
because this has to, I mean, there's a lot of normalcy that grounded this episode. You know, you've got the young man who's kind of fallen for this young woman, but also Bruce is kind of lecherous, and you got Bruce's, you know, pathetic attempts to stave off going into old age, and you know,
you've got a side story with the cops.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot all about that one.
I wonder how far into kind of horror comedy farce they're going to go.
Well, then you also got Lucy Lawless playing a very mysterious 30-second appearance character that is obviously going to be it probably is going to figure in prominently later on. But so I guess it's not just all Bruce. You got the cop lady who reminds me a lot of the Rachel Brooks character from Justified. And just kind of her no-nonsense approach and also just her physical looks. She's a pretty good approximation of that character. And, you know, she's in a situation where she justifiably kills a house full of people and her partner. But to people that don't know about Deadites and the Necronomicon and all that stuff, it looks like she just went psycho and killed a bunch of people. So she's on some kind of administrative leave, but she's still trying to understand what happened to her and how her and Ash going to cross paths. There's a lot of,
how's Xena going to cross paths?
There's a lot of stuff that's set up here. There's a lot of, like, typical gags I was thinking after we watched it, like, would it be interesting to meet Ash's father? And kind of like an Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade type of way to see, like, what's, you know, is his dad an even bigger badass? Or his dad more of a bookish nerd? Or you know, what is he like? Because Ash himself is still a stock boy.
Yeah.
He's late 50s at this point.
You know, they claim that that's because he's laying low, right? Like, he doesn't want the dead to find him, so he just keeps a low profile.
Sure. I don't know. I think that there's enough evidence that he's such a schmuck in his day-to-day existence that might be what he tells himself.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if he's really hiding out from the dead, I don't think he'd be reading from the Necronomicon. Maybe at some level that he misses those days and he wanted them back.
Could be. I don't know. Maybe Sam Raimi does, too. I don't know.
Ah. Could be.
So I'm curious to see where they're going to take it, how far into fantasy they're going to go. Like, are they going to have him go through an interdimensional riff and end up in, like, another Army of Darkness type of scenario?
So, what I read,
is it going to be more normal?
What I read is that they, in this continuity, which the Evil Dead continuity is kind of hard to figure out, because is the Evil Dead 2 the real version of Ash? Because, like, Evil Dead 2 is kind of a remake of Evil Dead 1.
Kind of, yeah.
And then
it has the same character, Ash, but I don't think the other characters are the same. And
even also, the events happen differently, and it's like, I don't feel like that in the second one that, you know, it's like they start off as if the first one didn't happen. It's an alternate reality version of it.
Yeah.
And then Armies of Darkness, which is the sequel to Evil Dead 2, I heard that this is not part of the history of the character, because the studio making the rights to this was not the same studio that made Army of Darkness. So it's two different studios, and they can't use that they got the character and the name Evil Dead, but probably for the same reason Army of Darkness didn't refer to the Evil Dead. They don't have the rights to that. So it's like, how is that going to come? But that's not a huge complication, because you know, that was kind of an alternate timeline anyway. I guess it would have been fun if they did a time travel episode where he went back to that community and did all that. But, like, all those, you know.
Yeah, they're clearly referencing stuff from it. So it's not like they're ignoring it entirely.
How are they referencing stuff from
it? Those little dolls. I mean, you see a wall of dolls, and you go, oh, one of them's coming to life. You expect them all to.
Yeah, that's Mini-Ash. Yeah. But yeah, I think that was a nod to that, but they obviously can't just reference that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's copyright and IP law is weird. Sure. But yeah, you got this kind of mud, but they could. They could do time travel. They could do different dimensions. They could go to hell. I mean, that, all that stuff sounds interesting.
Yeah.
But they shot so much of their wad in this one. Mm-hmm. Like, how many times can Ash cut someone's head off with a chainsaw and it be fresh and relevant? I mean, that's kind of the Walking Dead problem. They have to bend over backwards to come up with a way to kill zombies in a novel way, or it would get stale as hell.
Yeah, only 10 episodes this season, so not too worried about it getting stale. And they can literally go anywhere with this, right? It's not like in The Walking Dead where they have to be somewhat grounded in a reality, even if that is a fictional reality.
Yeah.
This can go anywhere.
Sure.
So I'm kind of happy with that, and I'm curious where they'll go with it. But I really enjoy this first one, just as a fan of Evil Dead.
Yeah, and I also hope that with Sam Raimi helming the first one, that they continue that visual style.
Yeah.
Because it did feel very Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything about it felt, you know, like some of those Steadicam wood tracking shots, they could have been from the first one.
Uh-huh.
Except for they look slightly better.
Yeah,
they do. You know, film quality and all that.
I think a lot better. What do you think about them just straight up using clips from the old movies up there on the wall, on those boxes, when he was telling, the story?
So when I was looking at that, I thought, are they literally projecting those on the boxes, or is that some kind of post-production?
It seemed like they were projecting them, but I don't know.
I thought it was cool. It reminded me of, there's one Splinter Cell game where instead of, you know, giving you your mission, like, in text that pops up on some kind of HUD, they actually projected, like, what you're supposed to do on the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think that's kind of a cool, immersive way, rather than do the old, like, you know, Wayne's World style doodaloo, doodaloo, doodaloo flashback. It's still in universe, and you can still see, you know, Bruce Campbell up there hamming it up, but you can also see the shots in the movie behind him.
That's actually another thing that they did do, is they use that little swirl visual that they used in previous movies.
Yeah. I think literally the same one. I mean, maybe they recreated it, but it looks exactly the same.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I like it. I'll continue to watch it.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if I'll... Because I just found out I don't actually have Stars. So, I don't know if I'll be watching it at the same time, or if I'll have to, like, catch up at a later date. But, I definitely want to see where it goes.
All right. What's with the trend of studios renewing stuff before they even aired?
I don't know, because Stars, like, they've had a couple of things that I feel like are modest hits, like Black Sails,
mm-hmm.
is the pirate series that I've never seen but I've heard good things about, and Outlander, which is seems like a quality series, but I watched like 3 episodes and like, nope, I don't need any more of this. But they're not really breakout commercial hits. So maybe they're committed to, like, whether this flops or not, you know, we want to this is another part of the crowd. Like, we've got the women interested with the Outlander, and we've got, you know, pirate fans with the Black Sails, or maybe that's
large demographic.
Yeah, maybe,
there.
Maybe, like, historical pirate fiction fans. Like, you're going after the Game of Thrones, going after the Viking crowd, like that.
Sure,
and that's kind of men and women. And You know, the Evil Dead is popular, and the kind of the geek. We don't have the geek.
Yeah.
We don't have the geek.
Trying to capture some of that.
We don't have the geek culture strapped down. So I feel like that, like, maybe they just committed the two. And I, you know, Sam Raimi's famous for making shit cheap.
Yeah.
That looks pretty good cheap. So maybe that's part of the pitch. I'm making shit up right now. But I was shocked when I heard that if they announced that they renewed it this week, it wouldn't surprise me, because everybody watched it. It's like, not only am I pleasantly surprised, I actually think it's good. I had a lot of fun watching the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratings are okay. But then again, like, I have no idea how to judge. I mean, these would be dismal, terrible ratings by AMC and FX standards. But for Stars, I mean, maybe it's a hit. So, interestingly enough, I looked at the statistics for Starz, and the debut episode for Outlander got 700,000 people, 720,000 people. So, Ash actually debuted slightly worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was kind of surprising.
Yeah, that is a little surprising. I don't know. I'm excited for the rest of it. It's just strange to see this kind of flip-flop in TV, where it used to be like, fuck, we don't know if we're getting another season, all the way up until after the final episode, right?
Well, but now
it's like everything's renewing before it's even aired.
Well, I mean, everybody's trying to... I mean, there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, we always talked about how Breaking Bad and Mad Men, if everybody kind of just murdered them in the crib because of the low ratings, AMC wouldn't be where it is today. So you kind of have a little bit of faith, and also networks are just trying to kind of get their toe in the door with this original programming. Mm-hmm. With series that are not expensive to make, maybe they're more willing to tolerate that risk. I don't know. It's so different from like network television. It feels like they throw stuff out there, and if it's not caught on in 3 or 4 episodes, whether the critics like it or not, it gets yanked.
Yeah.
But I was surprised too, and maybe they're going, because this isn't a show that's going to win Emmys either.
No,
like
absolutely
it might
not
be a critical darling in this fact that like Alan Sepinwall always says, oh, it's a lot of fun, blah blah blah, and he might write something for the premiere and for the finale, but he's not going to even cover it week to week.
No, and that's never what Evil Dead was. I mean, Evil Dead is a cult phenomenon. Yeah. It's not. It's not some movie that's super popular and is.
I will say I'm kind of shocked that on Halloween night, that it only drew like 500,000 people watching it.
I mean, it's a Saturday night. That's Halloween party night.
Yeah,
Saturday night at 9 o'clock is the worst time for
this
it to air, especially on Halloween.
The people wanting to watch this were out. Like I was running a haunted house.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I don't know. I'm gonna be watching it for sure. We have another show to talk about.
Yes, this is something I made you watch at gunpoint because I don't feel like enough people are watching this. And I've heard about the show for like 6-7 months, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. And I don't even remember why I started watching it. I know Cecily started watching it, and she got like 3 episodes in and said, you need to sit down and watch this. It's Rick and Morty.
Whatevering it too.
It's an animated series. It's on Adult Swim, which a lot of people think, oh, it's Aqua Teen Hunger Force, or it's going to be. It's actually a 30-minute show, and it's.
You know what? They oversaturated me on these comedy cartoons, these animated comedies.
Yeah, they're kind of interchangeable.
Yes,
like they don't have.
And that was a huge problem, and I stopped watching everything on Adult Swim for a long time because of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of fun in the DVR age. I've started subscribing to some of them because you can watch them. There's no commercials. Mm-hmm. It's 10 minutes and you're done. So it's a perfect kind of, I'm eating, I want something on. I'm not done with my sandwich yet, so I'll do another one. And then, I don't feel like I've made any kind of big commitment. Rick and Morty is about 23 minutes without commercials. But it's a cartoon. It's super adult, has super adult situations. It doesn't pull any punches. It's got a lot of swearing. It's got nudity. The premise is if Doc Brown from Back to the Future was the grandfather of Marty McFly rather than his just weird, kind of creepy high school mentor, and they got off into all kinds of crazy interdimensional time paradox adventures, what would that actually... And also Doc Brown is a raging alcoholic.
Yes, I was going to say, is a complete drunk and is also definitely way smarter than a Doc Brown would be.
Yeah, like this guy's Lex Luthor, like next level, the top 1% of the entire universe intellects.
Yeah.
With his technology, but he also lives in the garage of some suburban home. And like, I feel like I'm not doing the premise justice here. But here's the other thing that if you're like, I don't give a shit, it's co-created by Dan Harmon of Community fame, who is a very funny guy. And now he's got an animated series where literally anything could happen. And I think that's, for me, the charm of the show is that with this premise, literally anything could happen.
It is. Yeah. It's and also the other thing he does, if you've seen any of Community, he loves to theme his episodes with kind of pop culture references.
Yeah.
So like the first episode, I don't know what that's themed, but the second and third episodes are both themed like Inception with some other pop culture references in there too. But yeah. Then the third one is Jurassic Park essentially.
Yep.
And he kind of has his own spin on each of those things.
And he does, every episode is kind of themed like that. And it feels like the first six or seven episodes, he is just reveling in the ability that he can do anything. He's not held back.
Yeah.
And then around episode 7 or 8, they're like, wait a second, we've actually got some interesting things that we've done. Maybe we can draw some continuity. And they start that kind of the foundation that season 2 builds upon. And they say some really smart things about, and I know you can't speak to this, but about like what marriage is like in the 21st century and raising children and what it's like to be in an unhappy marriage and what it's like to be kids in an unhappy marriage. And then they also do really interesting things with like time paradoxes and interdimensions and what is the implication if you die in one dimension or in an alternate time reality. And there's also one episode each year where the conceit is Rick and Morty just watch interdimensional television. Like, it's infinite.
Like
infinite.
Beavis and Butthead?
Well, it's like, so one of the channels might be Beavis and Butthead, except for it's a world where humans evolved from corn. So it's Beavis and Butthead, except for everyone looks like corn cobs. That's one episode. And another is, and this I'm not actually making up, it's a universe inhabited by intelligent prairie dogs that pop out of people's assholes like they do holes in the ground. And you have humans crawling on their hands and on their hands and feet with their asses jacked up in the air. And there's prairie dogs, intelligent prairie dogs popping out of them. And there's surgeon prairie dogs, and there's lawyer prairie dogs, and there's businessmen and factory workers, but they're all...
So that's the other thing about this show. A lot of the humor is very juvenile.
Yeah.
A lot of it is very lowbrow.
Like in the season 1, I think they had a dare of how many testicles they could work into the character design of all these aliens. Like every alien has scrotums coming off their chin, from their chest, from their ass, from their elbows. Like there's just everything where there's a place you could fit them, there's testicles hanging off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, this sounds really bad and lame, but the writing and the voice were kind of elevated.
It does. And, you know, it's the combination of that lowbrow and the more cerebral stuff.
Yeah.
That really makes it work, in my opinion.
I'll also say that, like, a couple things you're going to have to power through is Rick almost always has some kind of vomit on his mouth that I found insanely distracting.
And then he's slurping up, and it's really gross.
He's belching, like, through his words a lot because, you know, he's almost always drunk. And that, I feel like... I'm not sure if they just start laying off that around halfway through season 1 or you just get so used to it that you don't notice it anymore.
Okay.
But rewatching the first few episodes today, I'm like, yeah, he's doing that belching thing again. So I kind of feel like they laid off of it a little bit.
Maybe so.
But I found I didn't like the first episode until I got to this back half of it where things got really, you know, really bizarre with them trying to smuggle mega nuts.
Yeah.
Through back to the normal human dimension, and things get really weird and crazy, and people start getting murdered, and I started getting what the whole series is about. But yeah, for the first 15 minutes, it's just Belch and Doc Brown being disgusting with his poor grandson. And there's also a lot of, like, you know, there's a lot of just juvenile humor. Like, the principal's name is Mr. Vagina.
Sure. That joke went over like a lead balloon for
me. But it's also, it's like, I feel like when shit like that happens in a writing room, instead of abandoning it, they just draw attention to it. Like when he says, hey, I'm Mr. Vagina, no relation. No relation to what? The name Vagina? What does that even mean? Or when they start an episode with the conceit of Inception, they just fully embrace it. In fact, they kind of...
Sure, yeah.
What's weird is they simultaneously take shots at Inception like it's a terrible movie that doesn't make sense and no one likes it and everyone hates it. Mm-hmm. But they're making a version of their own Inception.
Yeah.
So are they saying
really
this episode's terrible? Like,
I don't know
what they actually, you know, and having Rick be, he's also very curmudgeonly and he just detests human nature and scorns most human activity. So having him say those things about the show, you could kind of like maybe not take it seriously, but I also would not be surprised if like you found out that Dan Harmon or one of the other guys that wrote it, really hates Inception and doesn't understand why everyone likes it.
I mean, that's totally possible. They're the entire time they're lampooning it. It's not like, fuck this movie, and also we want to do a version of that because we think it's really cool. No, they're making fun of it the entire time.
Are they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I don't know, because I don't see how you can take the core conceit and rules of a world and lampoon it and also say it's terrible, because you're also, I don't know, it's like if you make a statue out of shit, it's by definition a shitty statue, right?
Yes, but if if the message is, hey, that this shit is shit, then I don't know why it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I think that the highlight for me, I thought that the third episode was the Meeseeks one, but there's this one particular episode, I forget what it's called, but it's around this being that can be summoned from a box. When you hit a button, this intelligent being comes forth and he will do one task of bidding, and then after he accomplishes it, he disintegrates.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you give, like, Rick's family, who are kind of a bunch of narcissistic idiots, this box with these with these beings that they're bidding, and it's like completely subverts your expectation. You think like, oh, I see where this is going, and you're completely wrong. And there's a lot of that stuff, like, too, like when the dog becomes super intelligent. And
yeah, I was gonna say a lot of these episodes have multiple threads going.
Yeah, and they keep, like, where you think they're going is like where they get to in the first third of the episode, and then by the third, it's just crazy ridiculous.
Yeah.
But no, I highly recommend it. I think everybody should watch it. I know it's on, the second season's on demand, and you could probably just jump right in there, but there's a lot of good stuff in season one, and the only place I know it's on right now is Hulu.
All right, good. I'm glad there's a season two out already, because I'll probably blitz through all these.
I guess they're writing season three right now. So I think season two just concluded, like, in early October. So hopefully by next spring or summer, we'll have another season.
Cool.
Everybody should catch up.
Yeah, I liked it. I will definitely be watching it. Anything else you want to talk about? Or
no, I mean, okay. I don't usually give out addresses for feedback, because it's Bald Move TV. By the time we record another one, we won't have read or remembered the other feedback. But
yeah, well,
you should get to the forums.
Yeah,
forums.baldmove.com. There's already a Rick and Morty appreciation thread there. There's already an Ash versus Evil Dead. See, I got it right. Ash vs. Evil Dead thread there. Pile on. More the merrier.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's it. We'll be back whenever we feel like it.
Yep.
And until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. Bye-bye.